Please be seated. Several months ago, I made a quick trip to New York to participate in the funeral of a good friend of many years. And when I reconnected with his family, my friend's very frail and sad father told me that several of the siblings, all whom were at the funeral, had not spoken to each other in over 6 years, a family feud over money. He wept when he said to me, "It took my son's death to bring my children back together again." I'm not a parent, but it seems to me that one of the most profound experiences of anguish is that of parents when their children are adrift or suffering, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, or when they hurt one another and become estranged. And surely nothing is more wrenching than the parent's loss of a child. Well, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem in this passage of the gospel that we just heard, when he and Peter had this falling out that we've also just heard. And this second Sunday of Lent is dramatically trying to connect our own Lenten journey with Jesus' journey. He knows what awaits him: conflict and confrontation and likely death. And his heart is heavy over how adrift God's children have become in their sin and estrangement for one another. So he's in no mood for Peter or anyone else to try to sugarcoat what is before him or what's involved in trying to follow him, or to try to wrap his position in honorific titles. In Matthew and Luke's gospel, Jesus cries out, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." Jesus imagines himself in terms of a deeply distraught and loving parent. Like a mother hen, he longs to gather all of Jerusalem under the wings of God's love and bring them back into right relationships with one another and thus with God. Now, you parents also know about children's stubbornness, right? Because we know about stubbornness ourselves. And the hurt that can be caused when children are unwilling to forgive each other, or when they get stuck in self-righteousness or arrogance. Well, Jesus moves toward Jerusalem this morning, calling us, God's children, to repentance. And he offers a promise of new life. And keep in mind here, the word repentance in this context isn't about us, you know, sitting here in church or going home and making a list of all the things that we've done wrong and then coming back to confession. And don't get me wrong, I'm for confession. I think there's room for that in our spiritual journeys. But that's not what is referenced here. Repentance here is about a turning of the direction of our lives, or reflecting on the direction of our lives. Is the direction of our lives in sync with what God's direction for the world would be, as we come to learn through Jesus? That's what he means by repentance. And so that's what this season of Lent is about. 40 days of honest reflection on our life's direction. And perhaps as a people who are too much able and willing to hold on to our divisions and our past hurts, to dig our heels in and to refuse our complicity in our fractured relationships. The late Brother Roger, the founder of the Taizé community in France, perhaps some of you have been there, says of love and forgiveness, "However meager our resources, one of today's most urgent tasks is to bring about understanding where there are oppositions. Certain memories from the past are enough to keep individuals and even nations apart. Nothing is more tenacious than the memory of past wounds and humiliations. But when we seek tirelessly to forgive and to be reconciled, a future opens up beyond all our expectations. Maybe you've had that experience, that transforming experience in your life. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, wept over Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. And yet, if you've been there recently, you know that weeping continues. We call it the Holy Land, and yet when you go there, you are also told it is called the broken heart of the world. And what makes the pain so palpable is that the hatreds and the distrust and the violence are largely fueled by claims of religion. This is the land of the three great Abrahamic faiths, each which claim God is defined by love, and that God calls his followers to love their neighbor. So on his way to Jerusalem in this morning's gospel, Jesus is saying that our sin is serious business. Now the good news is that I think it's probably fair to say for most of us, our sins are not the big headline-grabbing stuff. I suspect that very few of us have ever seriously contemplated murdering somebody, right? I think none of us have been involved in a terrorist attack or maybe even a Bernie Madoff scheme, okay? It's the much more insidious biases and even hatreds that come from the divisions that we hide behind and our unwillingness to forgive a past offense or let go of a grudge that keeps us from loving our neighbor and God in the way that Jesus teaches us to love. And that's when love and repentance can become difficult, can become hard. Jesus not only teaches, but models this kind of love, turning the other cheek, forgiving those who have hurt us, and to give without the expectation of return. Jesus models for us how to stretch ourselves to see the Spirit of God in our neighbor, particularly those whose circumstances are very different from our own. In a moving sermon to students at Eastern University in Pennsylvania, shortly after the tragedy of 9/11, so many years ago now, evangelical preacher Tony Campolo preached not about consolation and comfort, as many of us did, I think myself included, but he preached about repentance. And he made reference to a prayer meeting that was held under the Capitol Dome, where a senator said, "I pray, dear God, that we will bring those who perpetrated this evil," and Campolo admits he was waiting for her to say, "to justice," but she said instead, "to repentance." And he went on to say, "that is our hope. It's only when, in fact, we and they can come together in repentance that a new day will dawn and we will begin to incarnate God's love in all that we do." Jesus cries, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." Well, Jesus cries out to each of us to open our hearts, to let go of old humiliations, to work proactively to heal old wounds, to engage in reconciliation and embrace living in God's love. And Jesus, God's Son, died for this dream so that it might come to life in you.